The last piece of my new mirrorless studio camera puzzle is solved. The English translation for the wide-angle book has started. Daniel has a question. Model releases. I'm going to come visit New Zealand. And that's not the biggest piece of news. I have just received confirmation that I will co-host the most amazing wildlife photo tour in August of this year. And I'll be able to bring a handful of people. More on that about 9-ish minutes into the show. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 808 for Thursday, January the 25th, 2018. Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor. Hey, hello and welcome, it's Chris, and this is Tips from the Top Floor. Last episode, 807, titled My New Mirrorless Camera. Love the reactions I get. Thanks everyone who wrote in about this. The best reaction, I think, was from Matt. Not Rafsitar Matt, different Matt. He wrote on Twitter, just listening to episode 807, I think about halfway through your experience, I would have just resorted to gently rocking in a corner asking, why? Why does it have to be this hard? And then given up. And yes, I was it's pretty close to that. But I'm so happy I didn't give in because it works now. I even solved the last technical problem, which was how to permanently power the camera. I did mention a battery coupler, like a dummy battery with a cable going into it from a power supply. And that's what I ordered. Of course, not the original from Sony because that is ridiculously expensive. And so the one I ordered was great for about 5 seconds, and then it stopped working, which was kind of disconcerting. I immediately checked if the camera had any damage, which it luckily didn't. So I checked what was going on. So on one side, it's a USB plug, and then there's a little box in the middle, which is a little voltage converter, and it converts to 5 volts up to 8 volts, which, or along those lines. And then there's a dummy battery with the contacts, and first I opened that dummy battery. This is troubleshooting at its finest. Open the dummy battery. There's a circuit board inside. It has 3 contacts, a plus and minus. And the third one, I suppose, is a data contact to fool the camera into thinking that it has a proper battery installed. So I used a power supply to power the board directly to see if that would produce the right output voltage, which it did. And so I knew the input voltage and the little DC voltage converter were probably not up to the task. So I ordered a new adjustable voltage converter. I took an old USB cable. I soldered the whole thing together and I tested that I had the right voltages and hooked it up to the camera, and it works like a charm. And then, of course, to test the whole system, I left the camera on for a full day, 24 hours, and it just does its thing. So here we go. I now have a permanently powered APS-C sensor studio camera with a lens for around 400 euros. Try to beat that. I also received one question a few times. Are you planning to do live streams now that you have that set up? Well, first of all, I did this for my Sunday live streams with the Tech Guy radio show. But I'm kind of looking into that. Problem, and that's I hate to start with a problem because there's so many opportunities for things to do on live streams, from live editing to going through pictures and telling stories to reviewing photos, like the Slack challenge review, for example. So there were lots of opportunities, but there is a problem, and that's the time zones, and that is a real problem because you guys are far away. I mean, I could do like a morning thing with Chris, but if I do a 9 a.m. live stream here, that would be 3 a.m. Eastern time. And on the West Coast in the U.S., it would be midnight. At the same time in Australia, it would be sometime in the evening. It is really difficult to find a good time. If I want to do it at a time where you guys are back from work or school in the late afternoon, that is already far into my evening. And if I can say one thing about myself, is that I do not perform well when I'm tired. If I've been up since 8 or 7 or 6 o'clock in the morning, doing something like that and being really sharp and focused at 11 p.m. is tough for me. So I'm really, yeah, but there might be live streams. But then, of course, live streams will also be recorded and be there to watch after the fact. So might be an interesting thing to look at. Also, if I planned to do any live streams, which, again, is 100% open at this point, what would you like to see on a live stream? What are the things that you think that you would go, yay, I would totally watch that? I mean, are we talking about live editing a photo? Or live Q&As? Or, I don't know. Send me a tweet. At Chris Marquardt, Chris, M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T. Write me an email. Let me know what you would be interested in. And I'll see if it makes sense to do that. Okie dokie. One more thing, sort of regarding photography, and that is Monica and I are planning to come to New Zealand in 2019. And I need your input. We have never been to New Zealand. We have friends who've been there. I know a couple of people, but I would love your input. If you are a New Zealander, then hey, get in contact. What are great photo locations? What are places to see? Would it make sense to do like a weekend workshop there? I do know I have listeners in New Zealand. Hi there. But I don't know where exactly in New Zealand you guys are. Are more of you in the Auckland area or in Christchurch or in Wellington, North Island, South Island, and so on? That's lots of questions. And I would like your input on that. And I've set up a little form for you to kind of put some information in for me. Just some questions that would make this easier to me. It's at tfttf.com/NZ2019. What are you guys saying in New Zealand? Is this NZ or NZ? So you have so much to learn. So anyway, if you are in New Zealand, tfttf.com/NZ2019. Answer some questions for me and that'll definitely be helpful. Thank you. And one last thing before we get into the photography, the wide angle book, the translation is on the way. It's begun and I'm happy. Sometimes it just takes a while to get things rolling, but this is now a thing. The wide angle book will be out in English. I don't know exactly when, but I'll give you that information as soon as I can. And I just received, just right before this episode, I just received a cover, a suggestion for a cover from their graphics team. And if you want to have a peek and maybe give me some feedback on it, I will put it on the TFTTF Slack in the lobby. So go to the TFTTF Slack, check out the lobby. It'll be there and I'd be happy to get some feedback from you. So, coming to New Zealand, yes, that is going to be a thing, and I'm so looking forward to that. But I also want you on this show, and I need your questions here on Tips from the Top Floor. Send them in to voice@tfttf.com. Just record them with your smartphone. Any app will do. Send them to voice@tfttf.com. I want to hear from you. All right, so there's one more thing that I want to briefly talk about, and it's an opportunity that has opened up for myself, and I can bring a handful of people. And this is a photo tour that will take place early August this year. I am not putting this on my workshop website just yet, but you are the first to hear. And again, this is such a small group, and I am, let's see if this gets enough interest here. We're talking about Kenya, about the Great Migration, and it's a photo safari. Again, the Great Migration, that's when millions of animals migrate through the Maasai Mara, and it is, Yeah, from all I've seen and heard, I'm teaming up with some good friends, and they have done this before, so they know exactly what you are going to get there. It's open to all levels, photographers of all levels. This is big on photography in the field, so we'll spend a lot of time out there in the field. It is... It comes with a whole ton of interesting things, including a luggage allowance in the Mara. There's a flight there, a luggage allowance of 75 pounds, so you can bring the heavy gear if you want to. All the safari activities and all the transfers and everything is included. There's daily laundry, so you can keep tidy and clean if you want to. All the fees, all the meals and drinks at, yes, and drinks at camp. Everything is included. Round trip with a private air charter, everything pretty much that you need. The accommodation is in 8 custom designed tents open to an indoor and outdoor living space. I'm reading from something here. At ground level, high ceilings, careful designs and tasteful decor create a place that, while humble, befits royalty. Yep, that's what they say here. The private veranda, dressing area and ensuite facilities provide ample space to unpack, unwind and soak in the magic of this special spot on the river's edge. This is exclusive to us, the camp, for the 7 nights of this tour. We will... all our vehicles will be exclusive to us. Since we have the entire camp at our disposal, there are no set camp schedules or mealtimes. The plans are tailored around the whims of the day and as the wildlife dictates. And typically, what we should expect is to rise just before dawn, have a quick bite, head out at first light to see what has happened overnight. We look for tracks and signs of nocturnal activity, perhaps heading in the direction of the lion calls and hyena laughs we heard from bed. The big cats are usually quite active in the early hours. As the sun begins to rise in the sky and the heat mounts, we head back to our midday resting post for a brunch and a bit of a siesta. It is just, we're right at a river there. It is really it's a very exclusive thing. So it's also not going to be cheap. I have to say that. And, but this is a once in a lifetime thing. It is great guides. We have great guides. We have at least 2 instructors with us for photography, me being one of them. And again, you are invited to inquire. Send me an email at chris@chrismarquardt.com. chris@chrismarquardt.com. This is one of those things that I've always had this on my schedule. And this time, I think it looks like it's going to happen. Again, early August, the Great Migration, Kenya, Masai Mara. It's a photo safari, on a level that I'm really happy that I can participate in that, and that they let me bring a few people. So if you want to be one of the handful of people to come, let me know, chris@chrismarquardt.com.
Hi Chris, this is Daniel from Manching in Germany. I'm just listening to Tips from the Top Floor episode 801, The Cult of Done. And about in the middle of that episode, you talk about model releases. In particular, you talk about usage of pictures of persons in a book. So I have also written a book. Actually, you have that book. I have sent it to you some month ago as a little reward. Let it call a little thank you. Because your podcast with Holger Klein, Vrind, inspired me. Actually gave the initial impulse for me to write that book. So I sent that book to Holger and to you as a little sign of my gratitude. Anyway, my question is this. This book contains a lot of pictures of persons. And of course I have a model release for each of these pictures. But this model release contains a paragraph that grants the model a percentage of my profit and vice versa, but that's not relevant here. Probably the best way to deal with that would be to to divide my profit in regular intervals, maybe once a month or once a year, by the number of pictures in that book, multiply the result with the number of pictures of each model in that book, and send the resulting amount to each of these models. This sounds a bit complicated to me. I mean, yeah, we are in Germany, German laws and so on. but maybe there is an easier way. Maybe there's a way you can recommend, or maybe even a way you have experience with, which makes all this a little bit easier. I cannot imagine such a way currently, but yeah, maybe you can inspire me once more. It would be so great. I also would like to say thank you for all your great podcasts, for Tips from the Top Floor, which I listened to just for a few weeks now, and try to catch up with all the episodes, but that's not possible, unfortunately. But from now on, I will certainly follow the podcast and listen to each future episode. Okay, thank you, Chris. I'm looking forward to getting your answer. And bye bye.
Thank you, Daniel. good decision to start here and not go back to all the episodes. It is starting point episode 808. And thank you for sending the book. I received it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think you're overthinking this. I think it's too complicated. And what you say, you used a model release that guarantees the model a percentage of your book sales, of the proceeds from the book. I don't think that's very usual. At least I don't know any photographers who have done this. I understand that you want to give something back to the models, and I think this is absolutely important, and that is wonderful. Everyone should be paid for work in one way or another. But doing it this way sets you up for a lot of headache, is the word, headache. And it's because of diminishing returns. Now, let me try to frame this. Let's talk about books at first. There is by far not as much money in books as you think. A lot of I've had this experience with self-published books. Monica and I have written the film photography book, which has been out for a couple of years now. I have now finished the wide-angle book. So I kind of know what's financially possible with a book. And let me, while I'm not going to give you the exact numbers here, let me put it this way. If what you're writing isn't quite a Harry Potter that will be read by hundreds of millions of people, then in order to be able to make a living as a writer, you will have to have quite a few books out and selling, probably at least 5 to 10 books that are current and that are selling. There's usually a curve that in the first months you sell a lot more and then it kind of tapers off. My opinion is, and that's my personal opinion, the appeal in writing a book is not the riches that come from it, because with a book that is limited to a specific topic, like the film photography book, which is really a niche book, it's not the money, it's the networking that can come out of it. And a lot of this has already come to fruition. So writing a book is for that and not for the money. So as little money as there is in books, if you want to distribute on a regular basis, distribute percentages to your models, that will take time and effort from you. You are the one who's doing in the work, and it takes that time and effort repeatedly. While the financial returns of the book keep diminishing over time, they get smaller. And that's another thing. While the book might sell well at the beginning, again, over time it will taper off. I see this with everything I read, is every piece of content, be it a book, be it a podcast episode. For this podcast episode, the peak will be within the first 3 days of release. And then it'll taper off. That is just normal. That's enough people. The market saturates. And then that happens with a book as well. So you're getting a bad bargain here. If you do the same amount of work over time while the money gets smaller and smaller and smaller, you're getting a bad bargain. So question, of course, is then how do you return the value to your models? Because you want to give something back which is still high on the list. And first of all, one of the things I've seen a lot here is TFP contracts. That is, you work with a model, you do time for pictures. Like a model gives you their time and is in front of your camera and you pay them in pictures. That is often, especially with photographers who are just at the beginning, that is a very normal thing. Even models are at the beginning sometimes. So if you are inexperienced photographer and you meet up with a model that doesn't have a lot of experience, then you pay them in pictures, they pay you in time. They can then use those pictures for their own promotion on the website, on social media. That's a fairly common way to do that. And of course, if you hire a professional model for something, then while the payment terms are always a matter of negotiation, that's usually a one-time payment then with a license that they sign that that lines out for which projects you will use the photos, so that you can't just use it forever, but for this specific book, for example. And then, of course, they will then be able to advertise with the book that you made. And if you are a well-known photographer, there will be value for them in them having been photographed by you. That is certainly something to advertise with. But whichever way you prefer, and there are really a lot, so this was just a few examples, I would not do this with a repeated and ongoing percentage. And that was it for this episode. Thank you so much for being here, for being subscribed. And for more information, as usual, check the show notes in your podcast client or take the secret online shortcut. Go to tfttf.com/808. If you're interested in being among the handful of people to come with me to Kenya, to the Masai Mara, to photograph the Great Migration in early August, send me an email to chris@chrismarkwart.com. Contact information is, of course, also in the show notes. And also, don't forget to send me your voicemails, questions, feedback, anecdotes. Get your voice on the show recorded on your smartphone. Send it to voice@tfttf.com. That's voice@tfttf.com. I want to hear from you. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, silent partner in Hans-Peter Kagerud Publishing, and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rassiter Armstead, Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer, CIO Rusty Russ. My name is Chris Marquardt. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Marquardt, Chris M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T. And of course, go out and take amazing photos, be nice to each other, and happy shooting.